Well, thanks to everyone that took part in our worship time this morning. Sometimes I think the writers of our music give us a sermon and we could go home, but I think, Charis, you had a big part in this, doing this right here. Thank you. And you guys over there that push the buttons, I wouldn't know how to do that.
Way to push everyone's buttons.
I grew up with Lisa Hassler, kind of. She's a Pennonite. I remember taking her for rides when she was a teenager. And so you don't miss Lisa next Sunday. I'm serious. She's the real deal. She can turn conversations into Jesus, talk about Jesus just so smoothly. I wish I had that knack. So come and listen to Lisa. Mike told us that when he invited her to share with New Beginnings a couple months back, she was in a parking lot leading someone to Christ. Like, I mean, yeah, great. I need two readers of Scripture, and this is very simple. It's just a couple verses each one. Is there a volunteer or volunteers? Or hey, thanks, Steve. Dave and David.
Nice. So when you ask Dave to read, we'll both just start.
Yeah. Last Sunday, Mike announced that we're going to have a special Mother's Day message. That puts the person that's supposed to do that on the spot, I think. So what's, I don't know what's special about this, but you know, I kind of had fun putting this together. So hope you have fun this morning as we share together. This is Mother's Day, and I like to first have a mom moment before we, you know, when the cat's away, the mice can, you ever hear that expression? You know what that means? Anyway, the cat is not here this morning. We're going to have a mom moment. We're going to have a mom moment. I want you to think, each of you to think about the way that your mother impacted your life, and I'd like for you to share a story about that. It can be a principle that you learned from mom. It can be a teaching moment for you. Now, for some of us, this goes way back. My mother passed in 2001, and so I had to think kind of, you know, back 25 years or more. But I'm going to start because I had time to think about what I would like for you to do. My mother was always concerned about me being home as a teenager on Saturday nights. Guys are supposed to be out, whatever guys do when they're teenagers. and so you need to wash your car and be sure you shine your, I mean, this is kind of old school probably, but this is what I grew up with. Shine your shoes and don't be home on Saturday night. Be talking or do whatever you do with a girl. So, and besides that, this is a serious part of this. She would tell me as a young man, what impresses young girls? Is that good for a mom or not? A mother would take her teenage son and pull him aside and say, son, you need to know that when the girl comes to your car, you need to open the door for her. And when you go into a meeting place, be sure that you follow her. Don't be the first one. Now, that's probably old school, but that's what I grew up with. So it's time for you. Let's have a mom moment. You know, the fifth commandment says, honor your mother. Want to honor your mother? Now, for some of us, Chuck, our mothers are not in this world anymore. And for some of us, we're maybe sitting beside our mother. So there's different situations here. Anybody have a mom moment? Mary.
I think one thing that I thought my mother did very well is I was a slow worker and she was a when we were picking something.
Did that motivate you or what's the bottom line in that, Mary? Another mom moment?
My mom always said you can kill people with kindness.
The tiredness or tirelessness of my mother just always impressed me how she was somehow always up before I was and somehow, not maybe as a late teen, this wasn't true, but throughout her life it always seems like she was always awake when you needed something. Always there for you.
Oh.
Saturday morning, my job was to bake cookies or to make homemade ice cream. And one of the things I found out pretty quickly is if you eat too many warm chocolate chip cookies, you're not hungry for lunch. She called me a lot of other good lessons.
Are you, do you still live that way, Fred, or not? I mean,
if he's making ice cream on a Sunday morning, we're going to his house. This church is moving.
Anyone else want to share?
I know for me, as you all know, I spent 27 years in the restaurant industry as a chef. I always have said that it was my mother who taught me how to cook. Culinary school refined it, but it was my mother who taught me to cook. And her mother.
Yeah, yeah. So when I when I carried this through farther with my mother and what I learned from my mother, I learned that there's some things that Jesus does for us that our mothers did. Like, my mother taught me how to pray, and you probably all learned this same prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And mother taught me to do that on my knees. Isn't it something that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Where I want to go this morning is I want for us to see the mothering heart of God our Father. I don't know if we can use those two words in the same sentence or not, but this was a fun part for me, seeing the mother heart, the mothering heart of Jesus. And Jesus even helps me with this. So that's kind of, I think we're going to see God as in a kind of a different way this morning. At least I invite for that to happen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Father, that you love us so much. And we thank you, Father, that you gave us mothers. Each of us has a mother, and we thank you for the impact that they have had on our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Max Lucado writes, some things only a mom can do, like pottering a baby's bottom with one hand and holding the phone with the other. I tried to figure that out. I didn't powder too many bottoms, but doesn't it take three hands? Don't you have to hold the, anyway, that's not part of what I'm quoting here. Or spending the day wiping noses or laundering socks and balancing a checkbook, and still when it's all over, she thanks God for her kids. There's some things only a mom can fix, like the cabinet door her husband couldn't fix, and then his bruised ego when he found out that she could fix it. Torn shoelaces, broken hearts. There's some things only a mom can know, like how long it takes to drive from piano lessons to the soccer field, like how many pizzas you need for a sleepover. Now, as a dad, I went through some of these things, so I have no clue how many pizzas it would take for the kids to come to our house to sleep over, like my wife did, anyway. Like the number of days left in a school year or a semester, mom knows those. And so the rest of us wonder, mom, what was it like when the infant's cry first filled the room? Or what was it like when the school bus pulled up to take your five-year-old to school? Or what was it like when the tricycle was standing still and was silent? How did you feel, Mom? Did you cry? Did you smile? The Bible says Mary treasured all these things in her heart. There's some things I think that Mom, and maybe only moms, understand. Now, everyone knows that male and female are different. To put a qualifier on that, I think our culture is getting mixed up on that. Because we hear things like trans and homo and like, come on, excuse me. Anyway, that's not where I wanted to go. But God created male and female. And we were created in the image of God. So early on in my life, I learned that daddy was a male. Like, this is so simple. And mommy was a female. And so if daddy's a male, my brother is a male. And my sisters, at four of them, or females. That's not, but that's the lesson that I learned. So this is elementary, but male and female talk differently. I'm not trying to draw opposition here in the, what the sexes do, but help us to understand things. Girl children are more verbal and have larger vocabularies. Did you know that, Dale? Girls have larger vocabularies and are more verbal. Boys like to make noise. They go boom, and I don't know, I forget, it's been so long since I've been a boy. Whoa, that's what boys do. So adult women tend to have, or tend to want to share their feelings. Adult men are more, when they talk about information that'll solve problems. They're into problem solving, generally. Women thrive on communicating. Men thrive on action. One of my favorite shows on television is this, I don't know, maybe you never saw it, where it's a rescue of heavy trucks. That just fascinates me. There's a lot of things in there that it's a full action. Like when you turn this truck over with a wrecker, is he going to go too far and turn it over again? And my wife says, duh, why you watch that? So, no, men like action. Men prefer facts. Women prefer feelings. Men handle stress by being alone. Women share their feelings. Men fight for freedom to be alone. Women care intensely about their feelings. Their feelings are like an ocean tide. Sometimes they're, this is not new, is it? Sometimes they're up and sometimes they're down. My, this past week, my wife was gone, but a week back, within an hour, she was laughing and crying. Like, how can you be so up and down-ish? I'm a man. Women feel driven to generate, fabricate, and procreate. Ask a man who they are, and usually they'll say, or they'll answer in terms of their occupation. I'm a teacher, or I'm a farmer, or I'm an engineer. They care really deeply about their families, but deep down they want to achieve, they want to win, they want to succeed. God created men as men. God created male. Women see the world as a family, a nest. Their job is to mature, to nurture, to care, to shelter. They feel driven to relate, to associate. Ask most women who they are, and they'll probably respond by saying, well, I'm the friend of Dale, or I'm the wife of Larry, or I'm the mother of. I don't have a tendency to relate that way. So God created female. Now let me bring into this talking with you my vocation. I want to give you a barnyard experience, and this is going to go someplace, so just hang on here. Listen to some of the details here. There was always chickens in my life. I was born in Hershey, and my dad lived on a chicken farm. He worked with boys that were, they had a high risk in their life, and they were orphan boys, and so chickens was part of their life. And so we moved there to another place in Massillonville that had chickens, and when we moved to Pennon, we had chickens. So I'm going to give you a chicken story, the barnyard story. When chickens brood, they have nests. You know this. And so I had an opportunity to watch what happens when a hen sits on her nest. What does she do? By the way, Jesus is going to use this story in a little bit. The hen's always on the nest, it seemed to me, as a teenager, and I learned this lesson. By the way, in Job 12, it says, let the birds tell you what's going on. This is a scripture, actually. So this really egged me on this morning. Let the birds tell you what's going on. Let them teach you from Job. The birds are going to teach us here. So these hens sit on their nests, and you wonder as a kid when you first see this, when do they eat? When do they sleep? But they're So you want to go up to and see what's under them. So you, do you ever do this? You attack, I think it's with the hen perceives it, you attack them, and they cluck at you, and they fluff up the feathers like they're going to eat you. But of course they can't. So they're protecting their nest. Now the reason they nest is because they're providing heat for their eggs. They're protecting them. Did you know this? They turn them. I'm really heavily involved in incubating eggs right now. That's part of what I do in the farm. And the hen turns her, or the man-made hen turns her eggs one time every hour. It shifts like this. So I'm taking that some experts thought that chickens turn their eggs every hour. So they copied that. So that's what the hen's doing. If the egg gets out too far, I'll watch this. The hen will use her beak and pull it back under her. So apart from resting, the hen's nest, that's their job. I've never seen a rooster on a nest. I think he knows his identity. That's not his job. So I've also observed that when birds fly over, that the hen notices different than her. She's really busy gathering her chicks that have hatched now together and protecting them. She puts them under her wing. A barnyard story. Learn from the birds. Let them teach you. Let's talk about the mother heart of God our Father. I think the church and the world see God in a very masculine way, and that's not wrong. But we spend a lot of time on the qualities of God that are masculine, like the Lion of Judah. Wow, that's, you know, I kind of like that image of God. But God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, from Genesis 1. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So maybe the image of God is as much in feminine qualities as it is in masculine qualities. But I think it takes both parts of masculine and feminine to give us a complete image of God. But the body of the church often places a greater value on the masculine than on the maternal part of God. So the Bible uses, it is where I want to go this morning, metaphors. That's not a word that I use in my everyday English. You know what a metaphor is? A metaphor is a figure of speech or a explanation that is trying to make an analogy or a comparison. To me, illustration is a lot better word than metaphor. But we're going to look at some metaphors this morning. And I think one of you might have Matthew 23. You want to read that metaphor?
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate.
Thanks, Dave. And those are the words. Is that in red? Do you have a red?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus wanted to show his grace and favor to those that were spiritually blind in this situation, the religious leaders, because he was weeping over Jerusalem, weeping over the city, and they refused his love. He extended his compassion to them as a mother hen gathers her children, her chicks under her wings for protection. Get the image? This image of God as a mother, bird sheltering her children under her wings, is used a number of times in the Bible. In Psalm 17, verse 8, hide me in the shadow of your wings. In Psalms 57, I take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. And in Psalms 91, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. I love that word picture. God loves us so much that he takes us under his wing. The Bible also offers us images of God as a human mother. And Isaiah, he really plays on this kind of image. Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I, God, comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And did I give somebody these? Isaiah, is yours, Dave?
I have 49.
Yeah, 49, 15. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me.
Thank you. Once in a while, I will write something on the palm of my hand or on the back of my hand if I momentarily don't want to forget it. Think about God that writes your name on his hand. God's love for us is way deeper than even the strongest bond between a baby and the baby's mother. Isaiah 66:13, the Lord says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. We adults live in a different world than our children. And my lifetime is crossing a couple generations now, and sometimes the words that Grandpa uses with his grandchildren are not understandable, and vice versa. Like, I mean, this is just 40 years or 50, but I'm wondering whether there's some different things that God is saying and doing for us that we are not understanding. Example, remember how amazed you were at your dad? Maybe you weren't amazed. I was. Amazed at my dad. When we could get down the highway, my dad would say, that's a Corvair. This dates me. That's a Studebaker. Do you know there's a Studebaker car? Emily, did you know that? Oh, you did, okay. There goes a Corvette. Now that's, we still have those. There's an Edsel. Like, Dad, how do you know all those cars? Or were you ever surprised that your mom can put, Dave, I'm not good at this, put flour and eggs and what else goes into bread or cake together and it comes out being something you can eat? That's amazing. I mean, I got to try that this week and my wife is at home. Some of the things that came out weren't amazing. Anyway, I was surprised at how much I didn't know about cooking. Or as my parents came home on Sunday afternoon to discuss the sermon that the preacher had given, and as a teenager, I would say, you know, Dad, I didn't understand a thing the preacher said. And they seemed to have understood it. When we think about God, I think we can have some kind of the same thoughts. We see a contrast between us and our Heavenly Father. You know, we ask for grace only to find forgiveness is already offered. And we wonder, God, how do you know me so well? Or when we ask for food, we find that it's already provided. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask for guidance only to find that the guidance is already in God's word. God says in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, and my ways are not like yours. My thoughts and ways are higher than yours. Sometimes we're not even in the same neighborhood thought-wise. God's thoughts are not even like ours. We're thinking we will preserve the body that's exercising, eating healthy, which is good. But God's thinking, I'm interested in saving your soul. Or we dream of a pay raise. Who doesn't dream of that? But Jesus dreams of raising the dead. You know, our thoughts are... We think we're going to live before we die. And Jesus is suggesting that we die before we live. Die to self. We love what rusts, and God loves what endures. We rejoice at our successes, but he rejoices at our confessions. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are greater than ours. Just because we can't fully comprehend totally what God means doesn't mean he doesn't do it. Well, the birthing process is God's idea. It's maternally, he's maternally giving birth to the universe, to the planet, and giving new birth to us. But most importantly, he's giving us a rebirth. I like the rebirth part. Nicodemus wondered how this could happen. Remember in Matthew he says, or in John he says, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter, how can he be reborn when Jesus told him he must be born again? The thing about Nicodemus and the rebirth is that there's no gestational period. I like that part. So our Father God is a God with a mother's heart. He's waiting to dry up every tear. Our life group met on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, and in the seventh chapter of Revelation, we read that God wipes our tears. That's the mother's heart. God is sitting up with us through the night. God is listening to our troubles. A child wants nothing more than his mother's presence. Who better than the designer of motherhood could explain the nurturing side of himself? Jehovah Jireh, a name given to God, our provider. Matthew 10:29 says that not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from your Father. Think about that. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from your Father. I think that's guaranteeing us that God is in attendance at every bird's funeral. Wow. In the next verse in that chapter of 10 in Matthew, God knows the number of heads or hairs on your head. How does God keep track of, I don't know what, 7.2 billion heads? Now, for some heads, that's not too difficult a problem, but he heals our diseases. He heals our he binds our broken hearts. You know, I remember walking past my dad with a bleeding knee to go to my mom. I remember doing that. I think Daddy would have fixed it, but you know, in nearly every human relationship, we need to earn our way. If that's in the vocation world, you need to kind of prove your skills. What has God gifted you in doing with your hands? In the banking world, it's our credit worthiness. Are you able to save enough money to pay the bills that are coming in? In the friendship area, it's kind of our common interest that kind of connects us. But in the family, it's different, I think. It's the birth. Who disowns a daughter because they don't make it on a soccer team? Who wants to trade in their son because his IQ tests at 90? The mothering heart of our Heavenly Father is not based on performance. Is not based on performance. Let the birds teach you. Here we go again. I'm going to close with this one. One type of bird that I find amazing is our country's bald eagle. We had one fly into and around our farm pond about 2 years ago. Amazing birds. I've never been so way out, but I was closer to an eagle than that, but to watch that bird fly. The female eagle builds her nest very high so that predators can't reach their young. Each night she covers the little birds to keep them warm away from the cold wind. Each day, though, she goes out to search for food. Since eagles are are predators, that means she must find fresh meat for them each day. She goes out looking for nourishment for them that she might bring back a fish or a rabbit or whatever meat she can find. This usually is not a really hard task for an eagle, because that's what they're kind of made. They're excellent hunters. At times, though, when game is scarce, she has to struggle to find enough food to keep them alive. I read something that is very interesting about eagles at this point. If this mother eagle cannot find enough food for them, she will actually tear pieces out of her own flesh to feed her little young ones. There she sits, bleeding and suffering so that her little ones can live. Can you imagine a love so deep that one would sacrifice their own flesh in order to give life to another? That's exactly what Jesus did for us. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us today. Thank you, Father, for this love lesson. Thank you, Father, for the mothers in our lives. And so as we go from this place, we ask that you might inscribe on the back of your hand our names, that you might go with us, and that you might help us to live out those things that are really from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.